gets to Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Governor Tom Corbett's liquor privatization bill is up for a vote in a House committee today. The governor wants to replace the state stores with twice as many privately run liquor and wine stores. The House Liquor Control Committee is considering amendments to the governor's plan before voting on whether to send the legislation to the House floor. Corbett's far-reaching proposal has inspired more than one competing bill and drawn opposition from labor unions and the Pittsburgh and the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. I'm joined now by Pittsburgh area lawmaker, Democratic State Senator Jim Furlow, who has come up with one of those competing plans. He's introduced legislation to modernize but not privatize liquor stores in Pennsylvania. He joins us by phone from Harrisburg. Senator Furlow, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon.
Also with us from Harrisburg is Matthew Briette, president and CEO of the Commonwealth Foundation. He supports the governor's liquor privatization plan. Matthew, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
And if you have a comment or question for our guests, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Matthew Briette, let's begin with you. Basically, the Republicans are for privatization. Democrats generally don't want it. Why should the state of Pennsylvania get out of the liquor business, as Governor Corbett puts it?
Well, Pennsylvania is one of only two states in the country that has complete control of wine and spirits, wholesale and retail, meaning that the other 48 states have figured out that this is not, one, a core function of government, and two, government's function as the role of regulator and overseer ultimately is compromised when it's also the purveyor. And so getting government out of the selling of booze and staying in the regulation role, that creates the appropriate role for government. And it's also what overwhelming majorities of Pennsylvanians want. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, union, non-union, liberal, conservative, people want the government out of the booze business. And this is a relic of the Prohibition era, and it's time we entered the 21st century with this.
Senator Furlow, the state of Pennsylvania has controlled liquor sales since Prohibition ended. It's been called an archaic system. It's inconvenient for consumers. And the rest of the country, in many parts of the country, can't believe we still do it this way here in Pennsylvania. So why not privatize the sale of liquor?
Well, what Matthew describes as archaic, or I rather prefer to suggest that it's really an asset. It's a governmental asset that we, the people, unlike the Commonwealth Foundation, which is really inappropriately named, they don't believe really in commonwealth. They believe in corporate wealth. We have a great system, and the fact of the matter is, after many decades, it's matured into a system that's providing thousands of middle-class family-sustaining jobs. It's a system that provides opportunities for employment as well as economic and business opportunities when you combine it with the control that we have as well with beer distributors, 1,400-plus around the state, and the opportunity to oversee operations of restaurants and taverns as it relates to their dispensing of wine and alcohol. So I think before we just throw the system up to the private sector and create a lot of anarchy in the system, I think we should step back and take a serious look at what has hampered the ability of the LCB to modernize. I do want to make it clear. I know Mr. Roulette, I apologize for his name there, is probably right at the House committee meeting right now. I think they're voting on yet another version of the Corbett Terzai proposal. If I understand what's going on right now, they're amending the original Corbett bill. But it's still a bill that many of us, certainly the Democratic Party, cannot support. And it's not just Democrats. In the Senate alone, the modernization bill that I've outlined legislatively has all Democrats on board, and we have several Republicans that have also signed on board. So I think we're going to be able to stop at least this rush to judgment. And I know today in the hearing at the House that there's been no ability to have a formal public hearing, despite the fact that I concede the point that there's been a lot of debate on various aspects of privatization. But the fact of the matter is there's not even a public hearing on this proposal that we just found out about here in the Senate. Maybe 2 hours ago. So we have three co-sponsors for a modernization approach in the Senate. That's 26 co-sponsors of my bill. So I think we should rather sit down and talk to the Corbett administration and really let's define a system that addresses modernization and begins to meet some of the criticism that consumers rightfully have about the system.
Senator Furlow, when you say modernization, what specifically do you mean? What is going to be different?
Well, I think what will be different will be everything from general categories of pricing and personnel, procurement, the store operations, direct shipment of wine, reform of beer sales, packaging, both at distributors. An example would be distributors right now sell cases. We should reform that clearly. The consumer is interested in not just buying a case, but possibly buying a case that's split up so that the various microbrews and other opportunities exist within that point of sales. Restaurants and taverns, let them sell not just limited to 2 6-packs, let them have the same prerogative. As far as the LCB operation, there's a lot of duplication. The whole procurement system needs to be reformed. After spending a lot of time and expertise defining their procurement process, they have to go back through a duplicative process with the Department of General Services. On personnel, regardless of civil service, there's a few employees that the commission would like to be able to hire, folks who have expertise in wine as an example, customer relations employees. We want to expedite that process of employment and give the LCB prerogative store operations. We should be able to encourage more stores to be operating. We should encourage those stores to be within or next door to large supermarkets and grocery stores. We should remove the cap on the number of stores that can operate on Sunday, extend their hours of operation. You know, because of the sheets and the relationship with past Republican leaders in the Senate, the wine and spirit shops haven't been able to sell lottery tickets, as an example, because that money is coveted just by the sheets and the Kogos and the 7-Elevens of the world. So there's a lot of reform that could happen in a modernization bill, and we would protect and preserve a system that brings back $500,000 to state government. And under modernization, we could probably extend that to another $100 million back to the general fund. So for those reasons and many more, we're outright opposed to the so-called privatization notion. And as far as surveys, in terms of the Commonwealth Foundation, you know, if we go by surveys, most people are for gay marriage. Most people are for having opportunities to decriminalize or medical marijuana, as an example. So it's not always clear that a survey alone is going to meet the means test of what we should do legislatively.
Matthew Briette, what about the sustainability of the governor's proposal? He says his plan would yield $1 billion over 4 years for schools. What happens, though, to those school programs when the money from the sale of the licenses dries up?
Well, given the changes that are occurring right now, it is unlikely that there's going to be that kind of upfront revenue based upon the sale of the licenses and the overhead that the LCB stocks. So we're probably looking at a very different outcome after today's actions that are indeed happening right now as we speak in the House Liquor Control Committee. But ultimately, those were going to be one-time funds when you have the upfront revenue. But it really will be the ongoing revenues that a privatized system will even exceed what the government-run booze stores take in right now. Even the Liquor Control Board has admitted that 45% of folks in the Southeast are going across the border to buy lower-priced alcohol, accessing better selections. And so we're hemorrhaging tens of millions of dollars every single year because of this archaic system that we have in Pennsylvania. Again, that only another state, the progressive state of Utah, still maintains this level of government involvement that has a real conflict of interest. And it's not a matter of just having better government bureaucrats running the stores or going through all the hoops that Senator Furlow has just outlined. This is done in the private sector all across the country. And with government in an oversight role, this is the best way that we make sure that government is doing what it is competent at doing and getting out of areas where it's utterly incompetent. We have seen this time and again from the kiosk boondoggle to the advertising mismanagement to spoiling product to the tune of $500,000. These types of things are what you get when government is trying to do something that that really should be left to the private sector.
I think you were being sarcastic when you said the progressive state of Utah.
Yes, indeed.
I want to read a couple of Twitter comments here.
Again, just to be clear, on pricing alone, again, our modernization proposal would allow the LCB to do a proportional markups on all of its products. But basically, you know, the criticism from the gentleman just outlined for border counties near other states, that's part of the problem. It's a one-size-fits-all pricing scheme right now by the LCB because of the nanny state state legislature always intervening and trying to basically have to make every decision instead of letting it run like the profitable business it should and can continue to be even in greater amounts. They need pricing to variate the pricing at those counties that are next door to states that have different pricing models. They, you know, right now it's a one-size-fits-all. If you have counties next door to New Jersey or New York State or Delaware or Maryland, the LCB needs the ability to fashion the appropriate pricing given the geography and the marketplace. But this notion that somehow there's greater selection and better price in other states is just nonsensical on its face. Well, the LCB is the biggest purchaser of alcohol and wine in the world, and that no one's going to beat that
true.
Price
well,
despite all the rhetoric of the Commonwealth Foundation, a group that opposes everything that any they completely demonize any role or function of government. They oppose Medicaid expansion.
Okay,
they oppose minimum
wage. I got to jump in.
They oppose public transit. They oppose local zoning, like in the Marcellus Shale. They're a totally corporate-owned front group. And I think people should wake up and be aware of what.
All right, let me jump in. Gentlemen, I don't want to get into a shouting match here because we're just going to be talking over each other.
Well, I wasn't shouting, I don't think.
But eventually that's what it'll devolve into, and I want to – your point is well taken, Senator Furlow. I want to get to some calls and also some tweets here. Ann Huber on Twitter writes, "Modernization, of course, getting rid of jobs and revenue just because of political ideology is ludicrous. Small business owners and workers oppose." And so she essentially agrees with you, Senator. On the question of privatizing or modernizing liquor sales, Kurt comments, "If that means I could buy a six-pack in a gas station like every other state, then I think it's long overdue." I think this is something that a lot of people look to other states for, where booze is cheaper, you can buy beer at the gas station. Is this something that when you hear constituents say this, Senator Furlow, what is your reaction?
I concede the point. I concede the fact that some people perceive and want, and their perception is that they want greater convenience, whether it's the proliferation of alcohol and beer sales at gas stations, pharmacies, neighborhood corner, grocery stores, you name it. And that's basically what this plan would unfold. I oppose that. So there's a principle. I can't win that argument. I'll concede that to Matthew that the proliferation of alcohol at every little store, I think there's a significant downside to that in terms of social costs and the quality and the character of the communities in which I represent, whether it's small towns in Westmoreland or Armstrong County or inner city neighborhoods that I represent. I think there's a tremendous downturn to that. But I'll concede the point. Yes, if you open up the floodgates, you're going to have proliferation of alcohol in neighborhoods throughout Center City, Philly, Pittsburgh, Allegheny County, and in rural areas, and I think that's not a good thing.
And Matthew Briette, I'm guessing you would say that isn't it about meeting consumer demand?
Well, that's exactly it, the notion that it will have proliferation. In fact, we are going to, even with this expansion under the proposed legislation, we'll be well under the national average, far, far below it in terms of a per capita availability. So it's not going to be proliferation. And in fact, you find that states that have privatized, you don't have the social ills that Senator Furlow will argue will happen. In fact, the states that have done this most recently have actually seen any social ills decline because there are severe punishments associated with the private sale of alcohol. And that's not going to be any different here in Pennsylvania. In fact, they're even looking at stiffer penalties that would be incredibly severe for anybody violating the law. So there's plenty of protection, and that's precisely the role that we see the Liquor Control Board needs to be in. They need to be in the oversight. But when we are allowing them to get into the marketing and the pushing of alcohol, which they are doing today throughout Pennsylvania, whether it's on Pandora Radio or terrestrial radio or in the newspaper, this creates a real conflict of interest that nobody is served, neither the taxpayers nor the consumers of Pennsylvania.
Let me jump in. Let me jump in because let's take a call from Mount Lebanon. I want to take a caller, gentlemen.
There's greater control in the current beer distributors. There's greater control of selling to youth and underage at the state store systems. That's going to disappear with your local neighborhood sheets selling everything, including supermarkets. That's just not going to be the case.
Let's take a call from Lionel in Mount Lebanon. Lionel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, much of the discussion has been about state revenue. If selling liquor is so good for the state, why doesn't the state take over the selling of automobiles and groceries?
Very good point. And unfortunately, there are those that would like to see that because it is about generating as much revenue for politicians to spend. And I think most taxpayers are saying, hey, government in the booze business is a lose business. Everything that it collects is higher prices for us as consumers, or we're turning a lot of our citizens into bootleggers as they're going across border lines to get access to lower-priced alcohol or better selection. So this really should just be about whether this is a core function of government or not, and what is it that citizens are demanding. And clearly they want government out of the booze business,
regardless
of what it brings in.
Let's take a call from Carlana in East Liberty, who has an interesting point. Go ahead, Carlana. Welcome.
Hi. Well, two things. One, I did live in a state that had a liquor store on every corner in moderate to low income neighborhoods.
Where was
so
that?
Those are the people who will suffer. But my other point is that if Pennsylvania follows so many other states and legalizes medical marijuana or recreational marijuana, the state stores would be a great place to sell the product because they would have some control over the bottles have to tell us what percentage is alcohol, the same type of control on quality and amount of substance that would have an effect on a person could also be controlled in a state store where we probably are going to run into some problems in these other states because there's some marijuana that is so strong that it actually almost can't be called the same category.
Right. Well, that's conjecture at this point because who knows what's going to happen with that.
Well, but I do think it's important that we at some point have an adult discussion.
Senator Leach has introduced legalizing marijuana in Pennsylvania, so it isn't totally off the screen here.
No, and I'm not saying that, but the liquor privatization is something that is definitely going to be taken up or at least will come to a vote in the legislature. At least all indications indicate that. But
right, but looking into the future, the system of the liquor stores would give us a good, maybe even give us a leg up on some of the other states in terms of it being done in a responsible manner. Because when
right.
you talk about private liquor stores, the people who are hired are not, the most responsible people. And
well,
also, there's a lot
real
of crime.
Quickly is that,
it becomes
let Senator
a place
Furlow
where
respond,
people
Carlana.
Rob liquor stores. It's a common thing for crime to increase where there's liquor stores.
Senator, go ahead and respond.
Private liquor stores.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Senator Furlow, go ahead and respond.
No, I was just saying real quickly, it does raise the issue about what is really the substantive issues that really should be prioritized right now that the Corbyn administration and the legislature, including many Democrats, myself included, could move progressively forward on. And certainly a transportation bill, to me, is a far more critical issue right now than this ongoing debate about privatization of liquor. The Medicaid expansion would extend health insurance coverage to over half a million Pennsylvanians. She raised the issue of medical marijuana, and it's true if you have an infrastructure in place. I would hope and pray at some point before I meet the good maker up above that we have an adult discussion in this country about the so-called war on drugs and really how to move progressively forward and deal with the health care crises and deal with prevention and education rather than the criminal justice system that we can no longer afford to pay for. It is a relevant issue indirectly.
I know that both of you are pressed for time. Do you have time to take one more call, Senator?
Sure.
Okay, let's go with Mike from Monroeville. Mike, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, I'm concerned with the issue of the pension fund. All these state liquor store employees are going to be nursing off that depleted pension fund. Yeah, it's already breaking the school districts, and we can see what's going to happen in Europe. It's going to happen here. It's already happening here. So
my vote is
privatized to get them off, stop them from nursing on the state pension fund, and make some changes in the state pension fund.
Well, again, you know, we made some
divestiture is that you remove people from a fund that is bleeding red ink, and instead of putting more people on the Titanic, we can move them into the private sector. And this is one of the benefits, definitely, of the privatization model is having thousands of fewer government employees on the pension fund that is going to bankrupt municipalities and or even threaten our state here in the years coming.
I know a lot of people demagogue right now on this pension issue, and it's not a very simple issue. It's a complicated issue. The state legislature, especially with my leadership, with Senator Brown and the Finance Committee of the Senate, made some substantive and significant reforms in 2000, and just a few years ago. And I think they really should have a serious review and discussion. The notion that we should just give up and continue to attack middle-class workers, be they teachers or other state employees, even outside the state store system, is a serious debate and issue that we should be debating now as opposed to liquor privatization. There's a major concern that I have about going to a 401k, and what does that mean in terms of the financial health of the existing pension fund? Just like Social Security, you need younger workers to continue to pay into the fund for the obligations that even the Pennsylvania Supreme Court indicate that we must completely honor and continue to pay. It's a legitimate discussion and debate that we should have, but we're myopically focused on this so-called priority, liquor privatization, when we really should be honing in on the city, on the state budget, and certainly the pension issue as well, which I'm certainly open for continued discussion.
Senator Jim Furlow, Matthew Briette, President and CEO of the Commonwealth Foundation, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
No kids for booze.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Coming up, Pitt Law Professor David Harris joins us to talk about the verdict announced yesterday in the Steubenville sexual assault trial when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.